Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, here with producer Nate Vaughn. We come to you from Vikings Entertainment Network Studios at Winter Park with a really cool show ahead for us that is going to include hearing from Vikings running back Adrian Peterson. His hometown has been in the news lately, not for very good reasons, for tragic reasons, in fact. So he joins the show to tell us about that, and then we're also going to get into some lighter topics with him, talk about the football team. And we're going to talk more about the football team with our lead writer at Vikings.com, Craig Peters, as we break down the offensive players the Vikings drafted a couple of weeks ago. With rookie minicamp in the books, we decided we'd wait to review the draft until after we saw them on the field. And so we're going to break those guys down with Craig Peters later in the show as well.
As all responsible journalists do.
That's right, and that's what we are. We use the term responsible lightly.
We use the term journalists
lightly as well. Yeah, right. And so all of that is ahead. But first, we're going to start with the new stadium, with U.S. Bank Stadium, because Nate and I were in U.S. Bank Stadium this week. The thing is almost complete. Like, I'm sure the people who work in there are like, we have so much more work to do. But big picture-wise, this thing is almost done. Nate and I got an up-close look at it this week. We were inside the building as part of KFAN, the Vikings radio partner, doing their morning show and then PA show from 9 to noon, live from the Hyundai Club inside U.S. Bank Stadium. So Nate and I were there. We walked around. We were given a tour, and we spent about 5 hours in the building. And I'm super excited about it. What were your thoughts?
Well, if we just start with the Hyundai Club, where they were broadcasting live from, I mean, can you think of a better place to watch a football game from? Huh. I mean, it's basically like probably like 30 yards long, maybe even more.
Centered.
Yeah, right on the 50-yard line.
Yeah.
You know, probably, I don't know how many feet up, but
It's akin to being the one who rakes in a 6 or 7-figure job, lives on a golf course, has a huge deck. You walk out onto your deck and the golf course is right in your backyard. This is like walking out onto your deck in the Hyundai Club and having an NFL football field in your backyard, right? I mean, that's what I felt like.
You don't accidentally get tickets to be in the Hyundai Club.
No, you don't. This was premium seating, and we were in it, and it's probably about the only time we'll ever be in it,
safe to say. But obviously, that was very cool.
Yeah.
Getting to see them begin to put the turf down on the lower level, the playing level, obviously.
Yep. First 30 yards.
Of the stadium, yeah.
That was awesome.
It was going a little bit slower than I thought.
It's not as easy as just like laying carpet.
Yeah,
you know?
I am not a turf expert by any means, so I guess I should stop talking about that.
Although I was talking to Craig earlier, he's going to join us later to break down the offensive players. But Craig asked if we saw any turf monsters there. I thought that was kind of a witty question. I didn't see any turf monsters. So
what is that?
Turf monster is like when a player falls and no one tackled him, but gotcha. He fell. The turf monster got you.
Okay.
Lots of turf monsters on the opposing sideline, I hope, but none on ours.
Right.
So we saw that. We walked around. We went up and saw the press box. We saw the radio booth. We saw the national broadcast booth for TV, and we saw a bunch of other stuff. Oh, another thing I thought about, wide concourses.
Very wide.
That's good for people. Like, people listening to the Wobcast are also people who go to the game sometimes. Super annoying when there are narrow concourses and like you're the 13th person in line and your back's against the wall, and then you got all the rubes who are trying to like not wait in line but walk by you, and that's not going to happen.
You have lines going perpendicular to each other.
Right.
That doesn't equate to a successful trip around the concourse.
Right.
But with these, it's much wider.
Another thing that was cool was that part of the design, and even not just the exterior of the building, but even inside the building with like the concourses and the lighting grids, no right angles.
Yeah.
Lots of, you know, diagonal and slanted lines, no right angles as part of the Northern culture design vision thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really interesting thing. I'm sure there's some right angles hidden in the structure of the building somewhere.
I would hope
probably.
So. I would hope
because
so.
Because I'm not an engineer either, but I would think that those are important too. One cool thing I thought was, well, two cool things. The truss, the big main truss that is a very cool feature, I think, didn't like stick out nearly as much as I thought it would.
Right.
Once they built up, you know, all the seating all the way up the side, you know, it really doesn't even stick out much at all from the seats.
Right. Also, the truss of which you speak is 6 stories long.
Yeah. I mean, it's hidden, but it's you can see it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Super it's amazing.
Very big. ETFE.
Yes.
The four-letter, I guess you can call it a word, that we've been throwing around for like 2 or 3 years
about.
Now.
Yeah.
It's really cool, actually.
Yes, it is.
It's very cloudy, overcast day. No sun at all, but it felt like you were outside just standing in there.
Yes. Super cool. And I'd say it comprises like 60% of the roof, I would say. I'm sure there's an official number, and Lester Bagley and Jeff Anderson are pounding their fists on their desks because we got it wrong. Because certainly they listen to the Wobcast every episode.
At their desks.
Right. But it's like half or more than half, I would say.
Yeah.
Clear roof. And then, of course, you have the west side of the building is the glass and the pivoting doors. So really, it's probably more than 60% if you consider the walls as well. So really cool.
Very cool.
I would imagine that at night, when it's lit up inside, that is super cool.
I didn't realize that they put, and I guess people don't need to go on tours of this place anymore because we're just talking about everything that we saw.
Right.
So, sorry. But I didn't realize that they put LED lights basically all around, like the whole top of the stadium.
Yeah.
Like, you know, stadiums have like bunches of lights, you know, where they have like, I don't know, like 16 or 24 lights in just one like block.
Right.
But they have like
a row
of LED lights around the entire like upper ceiling of the stadium.
Yes, yeah. Kind of a cool way to do it.
Yeah.
Lots of LED lights in the stadium, by the way, because the ribbon boards and then the two huge boards are LED lights. So
you gotta wear your shades in there.
Yeah,
it gets
man.
Pretty bright.
Protect your eyes. Last thing on this. When we were walking through the concourses and we went by some of the awesome construction workers who are building that magnificent place, one of them had a Packers construction helmet. And so we obviously need to check for the integrity of his work because he may be trying to sabotage us.
Yep, he might be. And he wasn't being very shy about making sure some of us saw it too.
Yeah, so. I'm sure he strategically placed himself when he knew that we were walking through there. But that was kind of my last observation. So, now those of you just listen to us talk about it, you can see what we were talking about because, we did some interviews while we were there and, and Nate brought his camera and was shooting video. And then also, we've posted some pictures on, the Vikings social media channels. So check those out on Instagram, on Facebook and on Twitter. Okay. Let's bring in today's guest. That is Vikings running back Adrian Peterson, the MVP in 2012. And MVPs are kind of like presidents, I think. Once you're a president, you're always called the president. I think once you're the MVP, you're always the MVP. So we bring in Adrian Peterson right now. All right, Adrian, welcome into the Wobcast. You're even in the offseason, you're a busy man, so we appreciate you taking some time to join us. How you been doing?
I've been doing pretty good, man. Came really to point.
Okay, good. You know, we're going to get into some football and some fun topics in a little bit, but I want to start off with your hometown being in the news recently and not for great reasons. Obviously, the devastating and, in Palestine's case, tragic floods that have been going on in Texas and East Texas, they hit your hometown hard, didn't they?
Yeah, it hit my hometown pretty hard this past weekend, and, it really left our city devastated, it's been a rough week, for the African community and for me as well. There were 6 lives that were taken due to the flood, 4 children and 2 adults. Giovanni Olivia was actually one of my classmates and a guy I have been knowing since elementary school. And two of the young kids, Vaughn Anthony, Johnson Jr., and Devontae Ashbury, they played on my all-day Bantam team. It's been a tough week. We have some great people in Palestine who who coming together and, you know, helping our community get back on its feet.
Yeah. I'm sorry that you have gone through that and that the people of Palestine have gone through that. That's a really tough situation, and, you know, I'm sorry that that's happened. Now, you're definitely doing something about it. I mean, you're talking about it and raising awareness. You're going there to visit, and you've donated $100,000 to the flood victims in Palestine, and you're working in tandem with the Salvation Army. Tell us a little bit about your decision-making process there, you know, and how you decided to help and how you decided to do what you decided to do. What was your thinking?
You know, I was trying to think of how I could, you know, help. You know, I reached out to Jeff and I reached out to some of my marketing people to see what we can come up with to help my community. And, you know, ultimately we was able to collaborate with Salvation Army and for people to help the cause by donating, and, you know, I would match whatever they donated, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wanted to put $100,000 in there to start off. So these people that have been displaced from their home could, you know, could have somewhere to lay their head and, you know, have clothes and things like that. So, you know, that's been my main way of helping these people so far. I've had some of the companies that sponsor me, Fanatic, they're coming on board, help out with clothes and shoes. Adidas, my company, Texas Tea, you know, we're going to deliver water. Actually, I talked to Chad Greenway yesterday, and, you know, his foundation is helping out as well. And, you know, they're going to provide food and toothbrushes and things like that you need on an everyday basis, mm-hmm. You know, so. So, a lot of people are really reaching their hands out and helping this cause. I'm truly thankful and, you know, blessed that I have, you know, friends and, you know, and people supporting the cause in my, you know, my hometown.
Yeah. And, you know, you've donated $100,000, you're matching people's donations. And for people listening right now who would like to help, you can text AP28 to 51555 if you want to donate. So text this code AP28 to 51555 and you can join Adrian Peterson, Chad Greenway, and many others to help some of the people who have been victimized by this flooding. And I can tell Adrian, because I know you well, I can tell you by the way you're talking about it, that this really has hit you hard and that you're working your tail off to help those people. And I've been to Palestine because you allowed us to come and visit you there for Adrian Peterson Day a few years back. And so I know what, you know, having visited once, I know what the community is like. I'm not surprised that that community is rallying around and that you're doing the same. So thoughts and prayers with you from everyone here in Minnesota and the community on that. So thanks for all that you're doing, okay?
Yeah, thank you as well.
All right. Let's get to a lighter topic because it's not the football season. It's the off season, but football's in the air. The NFL held its draft a couple of weekends ago, and the Vikings have had rookie minicamp. So, Adrian, we're getting a fresh look at some of your new teammates or some of your potential new teammates. Did you watch the 2016 NFL draft? I'm always curious about that. If guys who are already in the league and have an established place, do you spend some time watching the draft?
You know, I actually was out with my wife, and we were watching a movie, with the movie. And, when I made it back home, it was like the 20th pick. So it was basically right on, I take that back. It was the 22nd pick. I remember pulling in the garage, and that 22nd pick had been selected. Yeah. So I remember hurry up in a car so I can not hear it on the radio, but see it, you know, on TV, who we were getting ready to select. So I made it right on time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you made a great paper trail as well. And that was pretty much all I watched.
Yeah. Well,
I turned the channel off of that.
A funny story is that I was with our PR director, Bob Hagen. We were standing next to Mike Zimmer. He was waiting for Rick Spielman to be done with his press conference. Then Mike Zimmer was going to give his press conference. And while we were standing there waiting, Coach Zimmer said, Adrian just texted me. He loves the pick. So we knew that you were on board with it. Get a receiver to help complement that running game. It should be pretty good for the offense.
Yeah. I think it should be pretty good for the offense, man. You know, we already have a great group of guys that he's going to be joining. And, you know, he's just going to help complement, you know, those guys as well. And, you know, and I know Teddy is pretty excited about this young guy, too. I can see from his demeanor and just listening to him talk and that he's hungry. Mm-hmm. He's hungry. He's determined. He has a chip on his shoulder. So I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do for us.
Okay, cool. Now, the story of the day on day three of the draft is one that you're familiar with. You've been talking about it quite a bit here the last few days. Moritz Boehringer, the Vikings draft a German wide receiver, and not just any German wide receiver, one who loves Adrian Peterson and loves the Minnesota Vikings. Pretty cool story.
It's an awesome story. You know, how I found out about him, I was working out. One of the guys came up to me, and it was like, you see, you guys left the receiver from Germany. And I was like, kind of threw me off. I'm like, what? He's from Germany? And he was like, yeah. He was like, he's supposed to be pretty good, man. He's like 6'4", 225, 30 pounds, and he runs a 4.41. And I was like, what? I was like, wow, okay. Let me, you know, kind of spark my interest. Let me, I need to check this out. So I got home, I drove home, and, you know, the first thing I do, I grab a laptop, I sit down, on my living room couch, and I turn the TV on, and I flip it to, NFL Network. And, lo and behold, he's right there on the screen getting ready to do an interview.
Yeah.
Well, how ironic is this? So I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at this guy on the screen, and he's nervous. I can tell. You know, I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, this probably is the most attention he has ever had in his life. And, you know, he's just trying to, you know, stay relaxed and, you know, kind of, you know, get through the moment. I could tell, you know, I did interviews. I know how I felt when I did my first national interview, you know. So I'm sitting there and I look at the guy and they start asking him, you know, so, you know, how did you get into football and this, that, and other? And he say, I started watching Adrian Peterson on YouTube. And I sit up and I'm just like, what? So, you know, he kind of gets on. He's like, yeah, I started watching Adrian Peterson highlights on YouTube and, you know, blah, 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 blah. They end up going to, like, a different city to go play for this team and that team. Just talking about his journey. And I remember saying to my wife, you know, I remember reading the TV after that he finished his interview. And I was just like, man, that's crazy how God works, you know, like, you know, in mysterious ways. You know, like this guy who has been inspired by me, and he's in a totally different country, you know, just by watching YouTube videos of me. Now, how ironic is it that I'm the one that has inspired this young man to play at the next level? He has put the work in and did what he needed to do to position himself for the opportunity. And not only does he get drafted, he gets drafted by the Minnesota Vikings, and now he's teammates with the same individual that inspired him to play the game of football. It just goes to show how, you know, how God works in people's life, you know, and you could be thousands and thousands of miles away from each other, you know. So it was, it was pretty cool and pretty special just to see that and hear that come out of his mouth.
Yeah, it's a super cool story. It stole the show on day three of the draft, and it's one that we're going to be able to follow now here first person for at least the next couple of months. So a pretty fun story. I have a question on that, a follow-up, though, Adrian, because I've always wondered, you know, when you're sitting there on your couch watching TV, whatever it might be, you might not even be watching NFL Network. Like, you could be watching a show on NBC and then, you know, a Sunday night football advertisement comes up and it's a highlight of you. So like when it's not football season, but you see a highlight of yourself, how does that make you feel? Does it make you want to go out and play? Does it just make you laugh and shake your head? Like, what's your reaction when you see something like that?
It's always a reminder that, you know, that you're blessed and highly favored, you know, like even like now, up until now, you know, I'm still able to sit back and see myself on the screen from time to time. So, you know, it's always just a reminder that, you know, no matter what you've been through in life, you know, this is where you are. And as you feel this couch right now, you know, your face go across the screen, God is reminding you that, you know, you're highly favored and still blessed.
All right, man. Thanks a ton for joining us. I know you're busy and we appreciate your time. So we'll see you soon, okay?
All right, no problem.
You can just tell by the way Adrian talks about it how much what happened in Palestine really hit home for him. And as I said when we were talking to him, I've been to Palestine, so I've met some of the people who are close to him. It's a tight-knit group there. They have Adrian Peterson Day every single year, so obviously they take pride in people who are their own, and Palestine lost some of their own in those tragic and devastating floods. So our thoughts definitely with them, and we thank Adrian for coming on and talking about something that's probably pretty tough to talk about. What's not tough to talk about is the NFL draft. It's also not tough to hear about the NFL draft. Well, on NFL Network, their very own Elliot Harrison talked about the Vikings draft and gave Rick Spielman and company a pretty good grade.
What are you giving the Vikings?
I give them an A-. I thought this team had one of the better drafts of any team in the league. I'm really positive about what they were able to do. I want to start with first-round pick Laquon Treadwell. This was a receiver that I really liked in the draft. Talked about it yesterday. Brian argued with me, told me 40 times is scary, and I told you that 40 times I'm sick of hearing about it. If a guy looks good and plays well and the tape doesn't lie, then why not take him? I'm glad the Vikings did it. Teddy Bridgewater's going to need somebody in the red zone. Teddy Bridgewater's got to take a step forward this year. The team has already said they'd like for him to cut it loose a little bit more. It'd be great to see him be able to do that with Stephon Diggs as well as Laquon Treadwell. As far as the rest of the draft, Mackenzie Alexander in the second round filled a need. They also did well on day three. My only concern was Mackenzie Alexander. No interceptions, no passes, or very few passes defensed in 2 years starting.
Talented
no picks.
Player, though. Elliot, yeah. Talented player. You talked about the 40 time with Laquon. You have to really factor in the same assets when you talk about McKenzie, because when you look at his tape, receivers don't create separation on him. He's always in their hip pocket. Yeah. He's a fiery guy. He plays with a lot of confidence and a lot of swag. So I think
this
would be special.
I'm a defensive guy. Yeah, you see
this always
with the emphasis on
right
swag.
Exactly.
Yeah, as he can run, he can play.
As he leaned back and smiled.
All right, let's get to the Vikings draft and rookies, because we're going to include some undrafted free agent talk in there as well. Everyone and their brother has done the draft report cards, except the Wobcast. The Wobcast has not done it, and we actually don't do report cards, but we're going to review the Vikings draft from a few weeks ago, but we're going to do it now because we've had rookie minicamp, and you've all heard me talk enough about it, so we're going to bring in some guests to help us analyze what the Vikings did in the draft and in undrafted free agency. So we're going to start with the offense, and we're going to bring in our writer at Vikings.com, Craig Peters. You've read a lot of his stuff, of course, and a lot of his stuff lately has been about some new Vikings players, draft picks and undrafted guys. Vikings had their rookie minicamp. Craig was there for part of it. I was there for part of it. So we're going to break down the offensive rookies for the Minnesota Vikings. Hi, Craig.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Wabi. I'm good.
Great to be back.
It's been a long, long time.
It has been, and we're glad you're back, and we need your expertise because people might be sick of hearing from me, so now they're going to get to hear from you. And so for those of you Wobcast listeners right now who are audio and video snobs, I encourage you to put your reading glasses on and read some of the articles that we have on the site, because we have a team of writers, which is led by Craig, and that also includes Lindsay Young and Eric Smith, who do a great job for those of you who like to consume content that's written. Craig and his crew do a great job. So, Craig, channel your written content that you've done over the last few weeks, and we're going to go audio version of this.
Okay.
The Vikings took Laquon Treadwell in the first round, a player from your rival school.
That's right. I'm familiar.
Yeah, because you're a big Mississippi State guy.
Saw him do some damage against my Bulldogs, yes.
Right. So, get the Bulldog bias out and give us what you know about Laquon Treadwell and how you think he fits with the Vikings.
I think it fulfills an immediate desire to get bigger at receiver, add another large target for Teddy, the impressive way he can use his body to box out defenders. I think he does a lot of the routes nicely that Coach Turner is probably interested in having Teddy throw. Looked really natural and fluid, even when the ball wasn't right in on the chest, so to speak. So like he would make a catch with extending the arms and then shift right into that natural flow. And I think that's one of the things that made Jerry Rice so great.
Yep.
To dig way back into the archives of when I first fell in love with this game. But interestingly, Jerry Rice gave Laquon Treadwell a big seal of approval. Chris Carter did. Two Hall of Famers right out of the gate. No pressure.
Right.
But, you know, it's just nice to see that kind of stamp of approval from guys who had, like, similar attributes, worked really hard, knew how to use their bodies, knew how to make great catches, strong hands, solid hands, reliable, confident. You're able to make confident throws to Laquon Treadwell, is my guess.
I agree with that. I think, you know, any draft pick is a developmental player. Like, even like Andrew Luck was the most sure thing I've ever seen for a draft pick since I can remember. He's like been the surest thing ever. You know, and he's a guy that developed over his first few years. So with that being said, we talk about quarterbacks all the time as like who's the most NFL-ready quarterback. You know, if you're willing to develop a guy, maybe Carson Wentz was your guy this year. If you need a guy who can play right away, you should go with Jared Goff. I think if you broke the receivers down that way and like you had to play a game 2 days after the draft, Treadwell probably would have been considered by most to be the most NFL-ready receiver of the group.
I think you're right, and I think that that hits a larger point with this draft class that I was really excited about, because I think Rick Spielman was able to address needs that are immediate and address needs that might come down the road and kind of really plan for the future, build for the now, which is very bright times for the Vikings. It's great to be coming off the NFC North title, 11-5. You go and get Laquon right away, and then you start planning out the rest. And there's some players later in the draft and some of the undrafted free agents on offense that are worth taking a shot at because of their measurables, their metrics, some of the things that they've shown on tape. And then it's about doing it every rep and becoming a professional.
Yep. So we've mentioned Jerry Rice and Chris Carter, and we've mentioned NFL ready with regard to Laquon Treadwell. So we're not trying to set the bar too high for him, but we're just explaining that you know, the Vikings got a premium player in the first round, Laquon Treadwell, a guy that we think can help right away.
Exactly. Right?
Okay.
Yes.
I would say the next one we're going to talk about, you would not describe that way. Willie Beavers, offensive tackle, and the Vikings got him in the fourth round. Not that we don't think he can eventually play in the league, but he's not a guy who anyone is expecting to come in and start from day one. Now, no one will close the door on that opportunity. You know, with the problems the Vikings have had injury-wise along the offensive line the last couple of seasons, anything can happen with that group. And there are five of them up there on the field at one time. And so with receivers, there's only, you know, two or three. So we won't rule him out as a guy, but if all goes according to plan, Willie Beavers will be a developmental guy under first-year Vikings offensive line coach Tony Sparano. So what do you got for us on Willie Beavers?
The thing that Spielman communicated was that Sparano has expressed this just keen desire to find guys with the ability to dent people, and that's such vivid language. And
I'm not interested in being dented.
No. Here's an old refrigerator. Go dent that. Yeah. I'll pass.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I think that there's some innate aggression with that and knowing how to get your body moving the right way and really make that impact. And then it's about refining your technique. It was interesting. They also said that his best game film was against Ohio State and Michigan State as a player at Western Michigan. And he could, you know, he was playing left tackle, but he could slide into guard. So that versatility is always helpful. The old phrase, the more you know. Especially on the offensive line with game day active list decisions down the road too. You gotta try to find seven guys that can carry you through any array of circumstances.
I think adding Alex Boone, getting two guys back who were not healthy last year, John Sullivan and Phil Loadholt, adding Andre Smith, using three draft picks last year on offensive linemen, and then, you know, using a fourth round pick on Beavers, clearly the Vikings are trying to improve in that area. I should say clearly they need improvement in that area, but also clearly they're trying to. I mean, they're throwing resources at this position, getting a new coach in there, using the draft and using free agency, right? So
absolutely. And you know that, and that, I think that all kind of stems from a confidence in Teddy. you know? Mm-hmm. And so once you have that piece of the puzzle, that's a huge percentage of what the final picture looks like. So you can go and look to how to protect him, find the right combination of linemen that give you the best chance with that. We also have Adrian, so you want to make sure you have guys that are really good in the run game too. So you blend those two, and I think that's going to be a conscientious effort too. And with all this influx of new linemen, it's going to be really interesting to see Coach Sperano work, and then later on in the off season when the pads actually go on and see what kind of lessons he's been able to implement and how that shows up, say, around Mankato time.
Right. Next offensive pick for the Vikings came two rounds later. Beavers went in the fourth, and then in the sixth round, the Vikings took two offensive players. The first was the German wide receiver, Moritz Boehringer. And I thought it was really funny, Mike Zimmer getting his Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde on, where on draft weekend it was like, we're here to make dreams come true. And then he opened up rookie minicamp by saying the feel-good story's over. So very Mike Zimmer way to tee something up, and then great way to frame it to start rookie camp. So what do you got on Moritz Boehringer?
First of all, I'd call that next level, like psychiatry from Coach Zimmer.
He's all about that.
He's picked up along the way. But he actually did recon from Bill Parcells, who was at the Florida Atlantic Pro Day where Boehringer kind of blew up the charts and had scouts checking watches, checking, you know, like doing double takes. So you know, he's got a lot to handle right now. I can't imagine going to a country where I'd visited last fall. Coincidentally, he came for a TCU Golden Gophers game.
Wow.
And he told me it was because the flight was cheap from Germany. So they wanted to come over for a football game, and Germany to Minneapolis was a good deal. And then lo and behold, so it's kind of funny on that. And I think he did a really good job of communicating, and he proved right away that he received that message from Coach Zimmer.
Yeah.
And he also said one of my favorite things he pointed out was he looks forward to learning under Laquon Treadwell because they're both big-bodied receivers. Mm-hmm. I feel like Laquon has played so much more structured football, but then right now they're in the rookie program too, so they can be around each other quite a bit. And I feel like Mo can really pick up some tricks of the trade from Laquon, and I think that's gonna be a really neat relationship.
Yep, and I think it's totally okay for Vikings fans to embrace the Moritz Boehringer story, because of his background and the initiative the NFL has taken to expand the game globally. All of that makes some sense, but I also think it's appropriate, you know, for some people to just pump the brakes on the expectations for this guy, you know, and not in a negative way on Moritz. It's just he's a sixth round pick. So
exactly. And you've seen quite a few sixth round picks come through over the years. And I've seen this is my sixth year in the league too. So you have a head start on me in that. But sixth rounders are developmental projects, and that's A-okay, you know. So you do have to balance the really fairy tale moment with the reality of what we can fairly expect. Right. So it's a balance between fairy tale and fair expectations. And I think that Coach Zimmer, Coach Stewart, the receivers coach, is they're both so really well positioned to help kind of guide him along the path. And I think our locker room is such a great group of guys that the more exposure he gets to some of the other veterans, it'll really help him a lot too. But he's got a great attitude, willing to learn, exciting.
Yeah, agreed with that. Cool story. Also in the sixth round, a tight end named David Morgan.
Yes,
from UTSA, which for those of you out there who don't know that, it's University of Texas, San Antonio.
First All-American in school history.
Which is pretty cool. Now, are they the Roadrunners?
They are.
I have a UTSA hat, actually.
Oh, how did you come by that?
When we played a preseason game in Houston, I went to a Marshall's, which was right across the street from our hotel, and I saw a cool hat with a Roadrunner on it, and I bought it, and it's UTSA, so I need to bring that in and show them.
Yeah, absolutely. And you haven't been chased by the Coyotes since?
No, I haven't, so I'm good to go. So I'm going to have to show them that hat. 6'4", 262 pounds, billed as the best blocking tight end in the draft.
Yeah, we got that too.
So
I think was the tweet from our account. So nicely done there on their social team.
Yeah.
But he also had Looking right now, 45 receptions, 566 yards last season. Okay. So that's a good average. That's a good per catch average. Good hands. I like the way he moved around for a big guy. Okay. And kind of can maybe find some holes in some zones behind some linebackers.
Yeah. You know, the Vikings aren't exactly thin at tight end, by the way.
No.
So David Morgan, aside from being a sixth-round pick and just the law of averages would tell you a sixth-round pick, not a great shot to make it, although, you know, the Vikings do a great job of drafting guys and developing them, and there's a lot of late-round guys on this roster. But, I mean, you drafted Mykole Pruitt last year, and the team likes him. Kyle Rudolph, obviously, he's in. And you also have Rhett Ellison, who is coming back from an injury.
One of my favorites to watch.
Yeah, but is still a guy you'd think at some point in time this season you can count on Rhett Ellison. So not exactly thin at tight end, but David Morgan joins that group. But I think it looks to me like he fits right in. He looks like a Vikings tight end to me.
Absolutely, and a really colorful personality so far from what I hear. Writer Eric Smith has had a lot more interaction with David so far and been able to connect with him already, and I'm hearing some really cool things.
Voice of the Vikings, Paul Allen, who was out here for two of the rookie minicamp practices, he was his standout player from rookie minicamp. So,
I can see that.
Another note on Mr. Morgan. So a guy for us to watch. If you remember, the standout player at last year's rookie minicamp was Stephon Diggs.
That
obviously turned out to transfer into the regular season. So
it went beyond borders there.
Right. Yeah, right. So we'll see what happens with David Morgan. The undrafted guys, I have the list right here. I don't know if there's anyone specifically you want to mention, but for those listening who don't know the list of offensive players who were signed as undrafted free agents, tight end Kyle Carter, wide receiver Mark and Michael, running back Jarrell Presley, running back Brandon Ross, quarterback Joel Stave, running back CJ Ham is just signed, and then wide receiver Troy Stoudemire is also just signed. So anyone on there that bears special mention? I mean, these are guys that are filling the bottom of your roster. They provide competition on special teams and at the bottom of the depth chart, and you bring them to camp, and that's how you get to 90 players. I mean, you're not bringing your 53-man roster only to training camp. You're bringing 90 guys. You got to have these guys on there. You know, from what I could tell, tight end Kyle Carter from Penn State, really athletic guy, missed some games at Penn State because of an injury, I guess. Running back Jarrell Presley really impressed me. Super fast 40 time. And then some really good production, I believe, at New Mexico.
Yes. 2,725 yards.
Pretty good.
Yes. 35 touchdowns in 50 games.
Okay.
So that's putting up some numbers.
Yeah.
And then Brandon Ross also. So both those running backs were highly productive running backs.
Yeah.
Ross from Stephon Diggs' former school, Maryland. Yep. So both those guys have impressive resumes that they're bringing in. Of course, we all know who 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D all day long, right?
Yeah.
So, but
it's tough to crack this roster. We talked about tight end being a great position. It's tough to crack it as a running back. I mean,
absolutely.
Because, you know, Mike Prefer loves what Matt Asiata does on special teams. Mm-hmm. And then when the Vikings were without Adrian for 15 games in 2014, Matt Asiata stepped in with 10 touchdowns. So, I mean, you know, he's not exactly the easiest guy in the world to kick off a roster.
No, very reliable, trustworthy on special teams for sure. Grinder.
Yeah.
Like, he's another one of those great stories, you know, that's been able to live out his dream.
Yeah. And then, of course, Jerick McKinnon on there as well. So tough to crack this as a running back, but it could be done, especially if you're great on special teams, and we'll see what happens. So that's it for youth on this roster at the offensive positions. I think, Craig, you know, big picture-wise on offense, I think for the Vikings in 2016, it would be great to get more balance in the offense. Most rushing attempts in the NFL last year, fewest passing attempts in the NFL last year. Would like to balance that out in some form or fashion, right?
Yeah. Throw when you want to throw, run when you want to run.
Yeah. That'd be great to be able to do that, you know. Right. And the Vikings have done a great job of adding bodies to compete at spots where they need to improve. And they've done a great job of retaining some key players to kind of stay at the level that they're at. You know, you think about the re-signing of Mike Harris. That's kind of a sneaky, solid move, you know, for the Vikings. So that's the rundown of where the Vikings are at, offensive position-wise, with players who were just drafted or just signed. So thanks, Craig, for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Wobby.
Yeah, we'll do it again soon. Yeah. And later in the week, we're going to bring on Lindsey Young and Eric Smith, And they're going to break down some of the defensive players the Vikings have drafted or signed here in the last couple of weeks. All right, Nate, I think that about does it for this edition of the Wobcast. I have nothing left to get to on my little checklist. Do you?
There's an awful lot of things on that checklist, too.
I know, but they're crossed off.
I guess that's what you do when you finish them.
Yep, I cross them off. Sometimes when I'm doing things at work to make me feel better, even if it's not on my checklist, but I do it, I put it on my checklist, and then I cross it off saying I've done it.
I do that too.
Yeah, I guess it kind of serves as a reminder as well. Something on the new checklist will be Lindsey Young and Eric Smith. They're on the checklist for the next edition of the Wobcast. We're going to bring them on, just like we brought Craig Peters on this week. We're going to bring Lindsey and Craig on to talk about the defensive players the Vikings have added to the roster in the draft and an undrafted free agency. So that will be next week, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you don't miss that. For now, though, our work here is done. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This episode of the Wobcast is over. We will be back next week with another edition. So please don't miss it. In the meantime, make sure you check out all of the great content on Vikings.com and on the Vikings app. If you have the Vikings app, you know what we're talking about. If you don't have the Vikings app, go to the iTunes store right now. Go to the App Store and download the Vikings app. It has been recently renovated. It's been improved, not given just a facelift, but also it's changed in how it functions. So it's really cool. All of your favorite content delivered straight to your mobile device. Make sure you go to the App Store and download the Vikings app if you haven't done so already. Okay, that's it for us this time. We'll be back again next week. Thank you for listening. See you later.